gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. This hour brought to you by Carbonite. Do what I do. Back up those them there computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Go to Carbonite.com today. Use my offer code Stephanie for 15-day free trial plus 2 months free. Hello. With your subscription right now. Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boyd, voice deity, Jim Moore, to me, Stephanie Miller. Like Eric in Ohio did, Steph. Saw you on the Ed Show last night. Oh, that's up in the video section.
In the video section, it up on your Facebook page as well.
You were spot on and hilarious, but why were you dressed like a geisha? It's Thanksgiving, not Halloween, Eric in Ohio. Thank you. I was... just for those of you that keep track of Stephanie Miller lore, it was not the kimono that I wore when I was a cocktail waitress at Fung Lum at Universal Studios. It was a free television something, I think, from I've Got a Secret. It's a little satin, Asian jacket. It's beautiful.
It was a satin jacket like the Pink Ladies in Greece?
No! Well, it's satin. It's a, you know what those things are called.
A bowling jacket.
Beautiful. It's satin and blue and it's... Listen, don't talk to me. I'm sick. Look, can you focus on the Ustream, see all the cold medicine I brought?
Yeah.
Look at this.
By the way, we're on Ustream, and the link to that is up at StephanieMiller.com and on your Facebook page.
I am hopped up currently on Benadryl and, I don't know, a couple Advil. Now, do you get confused by the stunning array of cold products that you can take?
Sudafed, what you're holding in your hand there is what you need.
I've got Airborne gummy bears.
Well, Airborne, that does nothing for a cold. It says it helps to prevent a cold, but if you already have a cold, it doesn't do anything.
I am befuddled by the array of cold products, and I never know. And Benadryl, by the way, keeps me up all night, so I've been up all night.
But Benadryl is for allergies. You have a cold.
Benadryl is supposed to put you to sleep.
They're two completely different things.
I don't know what I have. I have all the things on the box. Sneezing, running nose, itchy throat.
Yes, but do you see where it says in huge letters, allergy? Sudafed would help you with your congestion.
Yes, but then I will be up, I have an insomnia problem, I will be up till 19...
Well, don't take it after noon.
2000, all right, I'll just put that there.
And you need some Robitussin, too, it sounds like you have some gunk in your...
I'm a little phlegmy, yes.
Yeah, you need some expectorant.
Yes. Fortunately, we have a wide array of guests that I can phlegm on later in the show. David Bender from Ring of Fire coming up in just a bit. Carl Frisch from Media Matters to co-host Right Wing World. Mm-hmm. Representative Donna Edwards. Actress Nicole Sullivan, one of our personal favorites, the funniest woman alive. And also Lori Jean, who is the CEO of the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center, will be on the big show today to talk about a number of things. One of which I was talking about on the Ed Show last night, and that is Willow Palin's homophobic rant.
Yes.
On Facebook, and the breaking news, the update, her sister Bristol
has apologized for the both of them, and Willow Palin's Facebook account has been disappeared.
Yeah. Well,
it's been
wished
out into the cornfield.
It might be nice if Sarah Palin showed some leadership for a change and actually said something about it herself, you know, in an environment where all these gay kids are killing themselves. Wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah. But did you see what...
You learned that somewhere. I'm sorry. That's what I was saying on Ed. You learned that somewhere.
Did you see that gay Republican group, though?
I know. GOP proud, of course, defending Sarah Palin. Yeah. Oh, we're picking on poor Willow Palin?
Right.
Please. Facebook, first of all, is public. What does she think? That no one's going to see that? I mean, you know, that it's okay to use the F word for gay man. It's okay to, you know, no one's going to have any... I mean, that you learn that somewhere, that is okay dialogue. Mm-hmm. And this is what I was telling you during the campaign, when you've got, you know, her mother talking about the president doesn't have the conas and Harry Reid needs to man up. And I'm telling you, there was that creepy, like, sort of homophobic, like, you know, Democratic men are less than real men and yada yada. And I'm just saying, it's not a surprise to me that her kids... I was saying yesterday, we were talking off air, but I said, you know what's ironic? With this whole, like, family values thing that are preached by Republicans like Sarah Palin. We were saying, I mean, first of all, the difference if that had been a liberal candidate that was standing there with her pregnant teenage daughter.
That's right.
But, it was not a liberal. It was Dr. Laura that said she shouldn't have been running in the first place.
That's right.
A woman with five kids, including one special needs baby. I mean, and so now she's talking about I'm going to run for president. But, you know, it's really all about my family. My family's the most important thing. And it's like, you don't put your family on television in a reality show if you're concerned about your family and their privacy. I mean, that's, it just makes me gag the whole...
You don't put your family out there and then cry that
attention?
People are picking on your family because they're out there.
Yeah, why don't you... Tell you what, why don't you pay attention to who your teenage kids are sleeping with and what your homophobic kid is writing on Facebook, you know, in an environment where, like I say, gay kids are killing themselves every week. It just... It's. I mean, it's just amazing how it's just... It's no big deal when it's someone on their side. It's, oh, it's just... remember she wanted Rahm Emanuel to resign?
Mm-hmm.
For using the R word about the special needs kids.
That's right.
And it's like, oh, but, you know, kids will be kids if it's your kid.
Yep.
Using the F word for gay man. How did I get in such a huff this morning?
I don't know.
I need an unsolicited testimonial to the Steph Show and the Steph sponsors. Yet another Cedarside testimonial. Jocelyn writes, Steph, on your recommendation, I contacted the folks at Cedarside to see if the product would work to repel flies from my horses.
Oh,
Computer 38.
And it will.
They recommended Vet's Choice for my two Tennessee walking horses, Tad and Cookie Puss. Oh, she sent a picture of Tad and Cookie Puss.
Tad or Todd?
Tad.
Oh, okay.
Tad. I know, because I'm stuffed up.
Yeah.
So now everything sounds like Tad. Because I at least lubed her.
Oh, God.
Tad. Tad and Cookie Puss. Who names your horse Cookie Puss?
Well,
she does.
Yeah.
Jocelyn does. The stuff is amazing. It dilutes 4-to-1, and flies just split and stay away for a long time. I don't like to use chemicals on my horses, and the other non-chemical products only last as long as the hair is wet. It smells much nicer, too. Mmm, it's cedary.
Mmm.
I'm going to start using it on my shepherd for fleas. Thanks, Jocelyn. You're welcome, Jocelyn. Oh, by the way, Rachel, because, you know, my kids are the smartest kids in class.
Mm-hmm.
Rachel has some... in Seattle. Steph, here's a solution to all the controversy over full body scanners at the airports. All we need to do is develop a booth that you can step into that will not x-ray you, but will detonate any explosive device you may have hidden in or on your body. The explosion will be contained within the sealed booth. This will be a win-win for everybody. There will be none of this crap about racial profiling. The device would eliminate long and expensive trials. I like it. If you don't have an explosive on you, you don't have to worry. If you do...
Yes, but what about...
All you do is just you walk through here. If you have something on you, it will blow you up.
But what about three different people that walk through where, you know, they walk through with different parts of the bomb that, in, you know, apart, they don't explode, but when they get on the plane and assemble it...
Look at you, Mr. Terrorist in Training.
Well,
look at how clever you are.
I'm one step ahead of them.
Since when do they do that?
I'm just saying that idea
they
sucks.
They all bring a different part? That hasn't happened yet. Great, you just gave terrorist ideas. Way to go, communist.
It's already been thought of.
Hey, what if all three of us bring different parts of the...
It's already been thought of. Come on. That's why you're not allowed to bring liquids on
it. It is a bit of a catch-22, isn't it? Either you have to, because, you know, they're saying that it can be harmful going through these x-rays. So that's a, right?
You get a huge dose of radiation, apparently.
Yeah, and so it's either that or have your junk groped.
Mm-hmm.
I, frankly, I kind of like it with as little action as I get. I am happy. It's the only
you're happy to get
human attention I get is a nice grope at the airport.
From a TSA person?
I don't care.
Oh, I mean, you know, God bless the work they do, however...
Yeah, I don't care. Oh, you know, I have...
They're not usually, you know, America's Next Top Model.
I've already had experience with it, to be honest with you, because when I had the broken leg, remember, I had to fly a couple of times. So you're definitely in the special probe line when you have the broken leg.
Yeah.
And so I've already had that, and let me just say, they're very professional, and they tell you what they're going to do, and they, you know...
Yeah.
But yeah, you get felt up when you have a cast. And that...
Do they get to second base?
Everybody's second base is different. You know how it is.
No, I think second base is pretty well defined.
So, would I really go through all that trouble to get a cast put on to have the bomb in the cast? It's because they stick stuff in there and roll stuff over it, and you know, that's commitment.
Yeah. Yesterday, the TSA guy said that people 12 and under won't be screened anymore like that. I'm like, oh great, now Al Qaeda is going to send all their 12-year-olds.
Oh great. Yeah, that's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, can I have some, let me tell you what a giant loser I am story. All right, so we go to bed at
a stupid o'clock.
And get up at...
Insane o'clock.
Oh, wait a minute.
What?
I've got a confession to make that you're going to yell at me for, because this might be a sign that you have a drinking problem of some sort. So, or a solution, as I call it. I have a drinking solution. So, you know, oftentimes when I'm on TV, it's really in the middle of my cocktail hour.
Yeah.
Which, with our hours, starts, three-ish these days.
All right.
So, when I have to go do the Ed Show, the studio I have to use is across town. So it's like almost an hour drive.
Right.
And it's right in the middle of my, you know...
Cocktail hour.
Mm-hmm.
Did you bring a flask?
Yes. I brought a backpack with a bottle of wine and a little cup so I could have cocktails on the way home. 5, you know, and so it's a thing. What time do you eat dinner, loser?
Well, I eat 4 2
o'clock.
Dinners. I
you
eat 2 dinners.
4 o'clock,
one at 4 and one at 6.
All right. Well, I eat like 5-ish. Anyway, but I was telling you a funny story. I ran into apparently a very famous chef, and I didn't realize it.
Yes, and, she's very, very famous.
Yes.
Can we say who it is?
I don't know. She probably wouldn't want to be associated with me.
Why
but
not?
She invited me to dinner.
I worship this chef.
I'm not, because you're like a chef of...
I watch the Food Network, and I'm addicted to Top Chef.
Yes,
and
which is
where this chef was
well,
on.
Well, this is why where you came by your irrational hatred of Rachel Ray. I don't even know what that's about.
I used to love her, then just one day I turned on
her. I don't know
her.
Chefs. I don't, anyway,
right.
But so... she was nice enough to invite me to her restaurant, you know. And so, it was like negotiating the salt treaty. Because at first they were like, oh, she can't sit down till 9 because chef's hours. I was like, what? What?
Oh, my God.
9? Anyway, so it was like, it really was negotiating the salt treaty. And they finally, I wore them down and 6 o'clock. And that's on a weekend.
You got a chef to sit down at 6 o'clock for dinner?
Yeah. Yeah, her friend said that anything before 7:30 she considers breakfast. But, yeah, so it wasn't until apparently I was just a giant pain in the ass negotiating the dinner time. Someone's like, you know, she's a really famous chef. And I was like, oh, all right, well, so I'm very excited.
So she's not,
dinner,
well, she's
you
not listening.
Your friends had to take you out for your birthday dinner at 5
yeah.
o'clock.
Yeah, we went to Mario Batali's restaurant. And, well, they didn't even open until 6. So we had to get the earliest reservation possible. Yeah, but it was the best meal I've ever had. So I appreciated it.
Mm. All right. Well, thanks for your kind thoughts on everybody on my appearance on the Ed Show, because I wasn't really concentrating as much on content as I was on, you know, getting the proper, you know, hors d'oeuvres and wine pack together for the trip.
So that's your excuse for that jacket.
So I should have spent maybe a little more time on wardrobe, a little less time on cocktails.
Yes. Mm. Oh, and I got a tweet.
Lesson learned.
I got a tweet. What happened to your hair?
Oh, well, also because I was late, because I was getting my cocktail pack together.
Oh.
Yeah. They didn't have any time to spend on my hair.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was not my best day. All right. 18 minutes after the hour. You know, kids, the good news for me is I have carbonite. It's the only winter thing I do in my life.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. And you know how you take a lot of photos during the holidays? So many great moments. If you're like me, you save all those on your computer. But if your computer crashes, sometimes those pictures, poof, gone forever. Think how you'd feel. That's why I use Carbonite Online Backup. Don't risk losing those holiday photos and all your important files. Start backing them up today, right now, with Carbonite. It's easy and affordable. It automatically backs up your Mac or your PC whenever you're connected to the interwebs.
Mm-hmm.
Just $55 for the entire year. That is less than $5 a month for unlimited backup. Hello! And here's a special deal only if you use my offer code, Stephanie. You get a 15-day free trial. Check it out. Try it. Plus, you get 2 months free with your subscription. Go to Carbonite.com now. Enter the offer code Stephanie for the free trial and 2 months free when you subscribe. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. 19 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ooh, what a lovely program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, I'm going to be old Lucy by about hour number 2.
With yeah.
Whatever dreck it is I have. 24 Ooh. Minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. The equally husky and delightful David Bender coming up in just a few minutes. 1-800.
Husky voice.
Yes.
He's rather svelte in,
yes.
in physical.
I meant husky in the, you know, Harvey's Bristol Cream way.
Right. I you know, me being a former husky child, I...
You're sensitive to
I'm
that.
I'm sensitive to that, yes. We had to shop in the husky section.
I apologize.
Okay.
1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere. Dave in DeKalb, you are on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Dave.
Hello, Mama.
Hello, baby.
NPR reported that Sarah Palin cracked open the door for running for president in an interview with Barbara Walters.
Yes. Isn't that exciting?
First it was a hockey mom, then Mama Grizzly with lipstick. Now she wants to be the door gunner on Marine One.
Yeah.
Yep.
I wouldn't despair, though. The gift that keeps on giving will quit midterm to become the media whore on the Good Ship Lollipop.
Oh, my God.
Oh, dear. A cover story in Sarah Palin, the New York Times magazine, the writer asked her about her love of Twitter. I just tweet. That's just the way I roll, she said.
She didn't say that.
Mm-hmm. I tweet. That's the way I roll. As to whether she's going to run for the White House, she said, I am.
Yeah, we'll have that that audio coming up in Right Wing World next hour.
Mm. I'm engaged in the internal deliberations candidly and having that discussion with my family, because my family is the most important consideration here. Because, you know, if you really want to shield your family from any sort of a scrutiny or a publicity, you immediately get a reality show. Put them on television. And make sure your homophobic little twits have free access to the interwebs where they can share their thoughts with the rest of us as well.
Mm.
She said, I know a hurdle I'd have to cross that some other potential candidates wouldn't have to cross right out of the chute is proving my record. Well, you wouldn't have to prove your record if you had a record that did not include quitting in midterm.
And bankrupting an entire city.
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
That's the most frustrating thing for me, the warped and perverted description of my record and what I've accomplished over the last 2 decades. Well, I think you just summed it up. She bankrupted the city and then quit halfway through. She also wedged in a disastrous campaign for vice president.
Yeah.
In which it was clear to pretty much everyone in the country she was wildly unqualified. And then she quit as governor. That would be her record.
Do you know there's a big governor's meeting going on in San Diego right now, mm-hmm. and Sarah Palin invited herself?
Oh, good.
Because she's...
Yeah, generally you have to finish your...
Yeah.
It's the word governorship before
mm-hmm.
you can
That's right.
actually... Yeah, yeah, you're not still mm-hmm. a governor. Okay. Let's see. It's been much more perplexing to me than where the lamestream media has wanted to go about my personal life. There's that lamestream media thing, which I cannot get enough. That is, every time it's so fresh and funny.
Does she know that...
She is such a perpetual whiny victim, isn't
yes,
she?
Yes.
It's like where the media has wanted to go about my personal life.
Yeah.
Excuse me, you put your pregnant teenage daughter on stage at the Republican convention and you don't think the media is going to mention it?
Yeah. Yeah, it goes back to my contention.
Your daughter goes on Facebook, which you know is public, and calls some kid the F word for gay man, mm-hmm. and you don't think anyone's going to mention it? Now we're picking on her daughters.
Yeah, it goes back to my contention that the Republican Party has become the party of pussies.
Yes, thank you. I'm not even certain you can say that.
Well, pussycats.
Nora in
Pussy Willows.
Nora in Minneapolis. Hello, Nora.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning.
You know, all I can think about, and I can't stop thinking about it every time they talk about this TSA, is what's going to happen the first time they find a terrorist with some type of weapon or contraband inside of a body armor.
Yeah.
All hell is going to break loose.
Yep.
What are they going to do next?
Uh-huh. Yes.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Oh, trust me. We're doing a story a little later, Nora. Stay tuned for that on women's...
sanitary products?
Yes, and what's going to happen?
Right.
Yes.
Exactly, because it looks, apparently, you look a little like a bomb, you know.
With a fuse.
With a fuse.
It looks like one of those cartoon bombs, those round black cartoon bombs with a fuse.
Yes.
Coming out of it.
You can put junk in there, I'm telling you.
Oh, geez, Nora. Thanks for bringing that up now. Thanks for bringing that up. Well, we do a story. Remember the drunk woman that hit her car keys up her hoo-ha when she got pulled over? Because that was clever. Because the cop would never know she was driving if there were no keys.
Until she gets up and they start jingling from inside of her.
Or she sets the car along. What's that?
Yeah,
huh?
Nothing.
What?
When she crosses her legs.
Your car just unlocks. What happened? Yeah. All right. Well, I know we all just got the visual now.
Yeah,
it's true.
Thanks.
It's true. So, but to what degree do you have to prove that it's not a bomb? That's a little disgusting. Could I say for anybody?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. So that visual just stopped me momentarily.
Me
29
too.
Minutes after the hour. Back with more on all of this with David Bender from Ring of Fire. Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
You look like you poured your makeup on the floor and rolled around in it.
Poppy, the transsexual at the makeup counter I frequent, would beg to differ.
All right. What? 30, this will be a lesson to me. I'm spending more time arranging cocktail hour than actually getting to MSNBC for hair and makeup on time.
Yeah.
All right. 34 minutes after the hour. Chris in Yankton writes, Steph and Chris, boy, you're right. That lamestream media thing from Sarah Palin never gets old, does
no.
it? It's just like Beetle Bailey making Sarge angry, or Dagwood and Blondie making a huge sandwich, or Marmaduke not getting off the couch. How do they keep that stuff fresh? Diller laugh. You're right, Chris. Because Marmaduke is big, and he's not walking off the couch, so no one else. All right, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll-free from anywhere.
Garfield sure hates Mondays.
Oh, that Billy. That Billy on Family Circle.
Not me.
Speaking of fresh and funny, and I would never question his freshness,
no.
David Bender from Ring of Fire joins us now. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Stephanie. You don't look Flemish.
Funny, you don't look Flemish. Thank you, sir.
You know, Marmaduke, it just feels like it's actually more like Groundhog's Day with Sarah Palin.
Yes.
We just keep coming, if we're going all animal here, we just keep coming back to the same place. And when I hear her, I'm listening to you talk about the fact that she's going to think about her family first.
Yes.
And talk to her family. Remember, I
maybe she'll talk to them on the reality show that she put them on to protect their privacy.
Exactly. She'll pull up a chair and talk to her. Bristol on Dancing with the Stars. But here's the thing. I remember this so well. Ron Reagan and I were covering, for Air America, covering the Republican convention, that we're in the hall when she is nominated. And remember, no one has heard of her. No
yeah.
one knows who this woman is until she appears on stage. She brings out her family. She brings out Levi.
Right.
Everyone comes out. But that baby... This baby, this special needs Down syndrome child,
yes.
is in this hall with thousands and thousands of screaming people. And I remember Ron and I talked about this. That is a terrifying thing, and particularly
right.
for these small, for the infants, the sound is a terrible thing. You don't bring a child into that setting. This
well,
is
listen,
if you want to understand,
yes,
this
if you're
woman, think about that.
If you're really concerned about your children, what you do, David, is you first of all you enter a national campaign, you get a reality show, and put them inches from a grizzly bear. That's
right.
what you do when you're really concerned.
When you're thinking about the kids, it's all about the kids, and that's it's not the economy stupid, it's the hypocrisy stupid,
yeah.
Or maybe it's the stupid.
Yeah, David, let's get your take on obviously I was on the Ed Show talking about this, the controversy over Willow, who's the 16-year-old who went
yep.
on this homophobic rant on her Facebook page. She called a kid there that was criticizing the reality show the F word for gay man. So this morning.
Yep.
Bristol comes out and apologizes, I guess, for both of them. I don't get it. Is that unfair to think that Sarah Palin should show some leadership on this in a time when gay kids are killing themselves at the rate that they are?
It's certainly not unfair to think that Sarah should show leadership. It's just she's never done it, and it's not
yeah.
likely to happen now. So, if we're talking about...
Yeah, forget the country or Alaska. Maybe just in your own family, you could... Yeah.
Sarah Palin is entirely consistent. This is how Bristol got where she is, with Sarah not showing leadership. She's, this is the family values, stop at the border of Russia. The real problem here is that this is the kind of thing, and we see it all the time, Steph, is that the media sort of looks at that and go, oh, those are kids. Kids say the F word. Kids say, oh, that's so gay, and it's fine. And you cannot have that nod and wink and go, oh, it's just kid stuff, and
right.
assume that it's not going to have consequences.
Well,
Sarah Palin and these folks will never call it out. And look at John McCain. Look at John McCain. Look at what just happened with Cindy McCain.
Yeah.
Here is Cindy McCain speaking her heart and saying, we should repeal Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And within 24 hours, she has, done a Linda Blair. She spun around and said, no, I support my husband. What message does that send?
Yeah, well, and how does that square with everything she said in the video, in the anti-bullying video? It doesn't square
it
at all.
It doesn't is the answer.
Yeah.
It does not compute.
Yeah, and there's her husband bullying gay people, essentially, saying, moving the goalposts time and time again. And I don't even know what to make of that. So the latest, you've heard Harry Reid said he will call for a vote on Don't Ask, Don't
yep.
Tell after Thanksgiving. What do you think is happening here?
Well, Harry Reid actually never had to man up. He always was. He's always been tough. It's been a very difficult situation. And here's one of the keys here is that he's got Joe Lieberman with him. And it actually, I'm not singing the praises of Joe Lieberman, but Lieberman and, only other Democrats, can't count Lieberman as one, are saying that this is important. This has to happen. They're going to get a vote. The Republicans, who care so much about national security and national defense, are talking about filibustering the defense authorization bill if it's included. So the real issue where it's going to come down to is whether Carl Levin, the chairman, will allow it, to be one vote or two, whether they'll have to separate it out. If it is part of defense authorization, I think it's going to get through.
Wow, that would, that would really be something, because I have to say, for the first time, when I looked at John McCain on Meet the Press, I thought, you know what, we got to go ahead without him, one way or another. This is ridiculous. It's like now the study that apparently says 70% of the troops are fine with it, now that's not the right study. It's not the right questions, obviously.
When the leaders say it, when Colin Powell and when all these folks say it, this was McCain. If you just string together the things McCain has said and then pivoted from, you could go until Groundhog's Day.
Right, and he said, of course, when the military comes to me and says it's time to change it, we will. That has happened, but now he has to pick and choose a couple of, this commander and that. So now he picks the ones that are against it to go,
You remember John Lovitz's old character, Steph? He's a liar.
Yeah,
that's
right.
What he is.
Right.
He is the president of that association.
Right. I venture to say when we integrated the troops, there were this person or that person that maybe weren't thrilled about it or whatever.
And what Harry Truman said when he did it, and by the way, there'd be no Colin Powell if it hadn't been for Harry Truman doing this, which is why it was so, just incredibly sad what Colin Powell say, well, this might not be good for unit cohesion. Harry Truman said, deal with it.
Yeah.
Make it work.
Yeah.
That's what a commander-in-chief does. And there is some indication that Barack Obama is taking that same leadership on this vote, because Carl Levin was waffling. He was backing away, and the president came in and said, no, we're going to do this thing.
Yep.
Maybe we're seeing that.
All of these issues are dovetailing, aren't they? I mean, it is like Sidney McCain said, you are sending, our leaders are sending our children, the signal that you're second class, that you cannot serve in the military when you get married, or when you grow up, you cannot get married. And, I just back to this, the Willow Palin thing for a minute, David.
Yep.
I mean, I grew up in a very Republican household, but that word.
That was honorable, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that word was never said, so I didn't say it. The N-word for a black person was never said, so I didn't say it. I'm just saying the other thing, the issue here is she heard this somewhere, that this is okay. And obviously
absolutely.
Sarah Palin doesn't feel the need to say anything about it.
Because she understands that that is her base, the people who, and remember, Sarah Palin, who speaks largely through Facebook and Twitter, and it is perfect for a twit to speak through Twitter, but all of that is to say, and I don't want to get into lamestream jokes, but here's the problem, is that when you use these code words, and Sarah Palin has been speaking to her prayer warriors, these are the people that Sarah Palin really considers her constituency. People, fundamentalists, this is her core. This is what's going to win her Iowa or New Hampshire or South Carolina. And if she sends a signal, even so much as to say, I spoke to Willow about that, and that wasn't the right thing to say, that seems to make her a little squishy on the homosexuals.
Yeah, she isn't manning up enough on the. Let me read you this, because this is like, I got to say, the GOP, they just protect their own no matter what. And so, GOP Proud, it's the gay Republican group. Of course, they're defending, Sarah Palin and Willow Palin on this.
Is that the group that Ann Coulter spoke to?
Yes.
Yes, it is.
Yes. Oh, this is. Oh,
yes,
Tammy Bruce is the chair.
Oh,
yes. Isn't that delightful?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
She's
really proud. Proud, proud, proud.
Yeah. Her statement is, Willow Palin is a 16-year-old girl who, like all 16-year-olds, is going to make mistakes and say things she shouldn't have. Yeah, I'm sure they would dismiss this just as if it were a liberal candidate's daughter. Yeah. This, however, has nothing to do with Willow Palin or the substance of what she said on Facebook. The slur used here is one you could hear on the streets of West Hollywood or Chelsea every day of the week. Wow, self-hating gay much? I mean, again, here we go with, oh, well, you know, black people call each other the N-word, so it's okay. No, it's not okay. You know, when it's obviously used as a pejorative to hurt someone's feelings.
And in fact, you now have in the black community people like Al Sharpton saying, you know, we shouldn't be doing this because there is no way that this works. But leaving all of that aside, you've made the point, and it's probably the best point to think about. Imagine if this had been, Michelle and Barack Obama's family.
Right.
And it had been Sasha and Malia. One is pregnant, and the other is posting things on her Facebook account. What are we going to hear Roger Ailes say about that?
We wouldn't hear anything because they would just implode entirely. They would prematurely implode before they would be so overexcited.
There's the sound.
Now, anyway, let me finish this GOP proud statement. Apparently, it's only a homophobic slur when it comes from the daughter of a conservative female leader. Make no mistake, this is all about destroying Sarah Palin by any means necessary. The angry misogynist left and their accomplices in the mainstream media have been unable to take down Governor Palin, no matter how hard they've tried. Unable to take her down directly, they now have decided to try to hurt her by attacking the most important thing in her life, her family. Any person, gay or straight, who participates in this cheap political smear should be ashamed of themselves. First of all, David, she knows Facebook. I don't care how old you are. You know Facebook is public. She makes it sound like we're just attacking. We're attacking because she attacked somebody.
And then it was immediately, and they know what they did. That's why it's pulled. They weren't paying attention. This is a woman, and if you actually, you know, I'm not saying Levi Johnson is the most credible source in the world, but out of the mouths of very dumb babes, this guy has explained how disengaged Sarah Palin is from her family,
right,
how little she knows about what's actually going on.
Right.
That's the reality of
right.
this. If we're talking about a reality show, let's not show her with grizzlies. Let's show her with not being a
right.
good mom.
Right. Well, yeah, that's the other thing.
She's not connected.
Right. Well, that's the other thing, David. That's exactly it. Is like we're not attacking Sarah Palin. I mean, obviously, her daughter posts something publicly. You're going to go, that's not right. The whole thing just makes
sense. And Sarah Palin, woman up.
Yeah.
You know?
Woman up. Pay attention to your kids.
And be a mom. Set an example and say this isn't something kids should be doing. You're absolutely right. She has a great opportunity. There is not a chance in hell that she'll take it.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, but you're right. You're exactly right. It shows you sort of what that whole base is about. That you would think at this point this isn't a partisan issue. You know, our kids killing themselves around the country, and that you just out of human decency would say this is not right. It hurts people's feelings.
At long last, Governor, have you no decency? Have you no sense of shame? And the answer, we know the answer, she doesn't. And it's not something she's ever going to think about. And I want to say it one more time. This is not about anything that is going on in this calendar year. This is all about Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina. This is all about running for president with a base that supported Pat Buchanan and Pat Robertson. Those are the voters in those Republican primaries and caucuses. She's not going to say a word about anything connected to gay people between now and then.
Yep. All right. David Bender, Ring of Fire, depressing and yet delightful this morning. Thank you so much.
That's my gift.
All right. There he goes, our friend David Bender.
Yay!
RingofFireRadio.com. Check it out. 47 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Try to behave, for goodness sake.
All right.
Otherwise, you're going to have all idiots listening to your program.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Carl Frisch from Media Matters coming up to co-host Right Wing World. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Steve in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show on the Dancing with the Stars conspiracy. Although, Steve, I don't think it's a conspiracy when it's clear that she sucks. Bristol Palin sucks, and she's still on the show.
Yeah, and what also scares me is I think here in Wisconsin, we're losing our collective minds. We had our catastrophic election results at the beginning of the month, and now the other day, or yesterday, a guy gets arrested after a standoff with police. He shot his television set and threatened his wife because he was upset
because
Bristol was still competing.
Because Bristol is such a bad dancer, it made him angry.
I think the rest of America feels
that way,
too. We
rest our case. All right, thank you, Steve.
Yeah, I wonder if you guys could do a reenactment of that standoff anytime for us.
All right, thank you, Steve. That guy, listen, we rest our case. Yeah, apparently the right-wing websites are they've exploited a glitch in the voting system, so they're like, you know, piling on for Bristol, apparently. This is the story he's referring to: a rural Wisconsin man, Madison, our beloved Madison, blasted his television set with a shotgun after watching Bristol Palin's Dancing with the Stars, saying he was fed up with politics and Palin wasn't a very good dancer.
Bet you $10 he's a Stephanie Miller listener.
The Stephanie Miller Show does not encourage this sort of behavior.
Oh, why not? Come on. It's fun.
Shush.
Oh.
He had been drinking before he sat down to watch
Dan. I rest my case. A Stephanie Miller listener.
Janice Cowan said her husband drank a bottle of beer during dinner and they settled down to watch Dancing with the Stars. When Palin began her routine, Cowan jumped up again swearing, saying something like the politics. His wife said he was upset a political figure's daughter was dancing on TV, even though he felt that she did not have talent. She told officers her husband left the living room, reappeared 20 minutes later with his shotgun raging, and blasted the television. He scared the... what is the word she used here?
Bejesus.
No, the BGBs out of me. That's the way it's printed.
BGBs?
The bejeebies out of me. That's what Janice Cowan told police.
I've never heard that.
He scared the bejeebies out of me.
Huh.
That's a word that's apparently used in the Cowan household. The internet has been abuzz, as I just mentioned in recent days, about how Bristol Palin, who has been consistently landed at the bottom of the judges' leaderboard, has been able to remain on the ABC show. Some have suggested voters, particularly supporters of her mother, have been voting in blocks and manipulating the system. Exactly. Exactly. All right. Thank you for that story out of Madison, Wisconsin. All right. Mary and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Mayor. It's Madison Day.
Yay. Hi. Yesterday there was a woman on from Maryland who said she was from a liberal community.
Yep.
And she was talking about how she couldn't get her child to stop saying, you know, describing people in a denigrating way, like the gay and, you know, and
gay slurs, right.
Yeah, and it just got me thinking about how there's like this real misconception about what it means to be liberal. You know, you can be liberal politically, but, you know, there are these, I mean, I'm sure those kids that made that video of that guy, that young man that killed himself, they came from liberal communities too. And that it doesn't, there's a big difference between being liberal politically and liberal where you're not paying attention to your children and you're not teaching them how to be respectful.
Well, that's all I'm saying. And I don't mean to judge Mary because I, as you know, everyone knows I'm a childless loser. I don't have kids and I understand you can't control all kids everywhere from saying stuff. So I do understand that, but I'm basing it on my upbringing. I'm just saying I didn't use those words because they weren't used in our home and it was understood that they weren't used.
Well, no, it's disrespectful. It doesn't matter what your politics are.
Right.
It has nothing to do with being liberal.
Right, and I use the analogy that there were, I can think of a couple of friends that used the N-word for gay person and because their parents did. And when I was over at their house, you would hear their parents use the word. So where do you think kids think that's okay?
I know, and I think maybe this misuse of liberal, or this misunderstanding about what it means to be, you know, where they're using liberal, but it has nothing to do with politics.
Right.
Maybe that's why so many people, like, go, oh, you're liberal, you know, because they're thinking of these sort of affluent places where people aren't paying attention,
you know,
and they're not thinking about what it means. Yeah.
But Mary, I do think, like I say, this is a bipartisan thing, and it's a serious situation when we have the degree of you know suicides going on in the country. Okay. I made the example. My friend here has I think he's an eight-year-old son, and he was getting this a homophobe bullying. She went to the school and said, I don't want my son to be the next statistic. The two kids were expelled. But the addendum to that story, Mary, is at least she said the parents called her and were horribly apologetic. But at least it starts a conversation. And maybe the kids will get reinstated back in school, but you know what I mean? It draws a zero tolerance policy.
People should not disrespect each other.
Right.
You know, no matter what, you know.
Right, but you know what I'm saying? I feel like in this case, the teachers, the parents, the kids probably learn something, you know, and however
well,
it's exactly. resolved.
Exactly.
Right.
And by the time you're 16, you really ought to know that.
Right. So, right. But that's what I mean. In this case, you know, it doesn't sound like, you know, the parents were homophobic. They were, you know, unbelievable. And maybe it's just because their kids got kicked out of school and they wanted to, you know, get them reinstated. But it sounded from what my friend said that they were sincerely horrified at what their kids had been doing.
Oh,
so.
Yes, I'm sure. And I just was thinking of that woman was saying, you know, we're really liberal here, but we can't get our children
to stop. The point is you can get them to stop. All right, Mary, thanks for your call. 58 minutes after the hour, right back with Carl Fritsch on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You could see me in my geisha outfit on the Ed Show yesterday. On the video section there, StephanieMiller.com.
What exactly is the N-word for gay person?
Apparently, Jim's sole show preparation consists of listening to the show on the way in. And
Natty Dresser?
So that he can make fun of my various mispronunciations and misspeaks. I apologize, I meant F-word for gay men.
Ah.
All right, thank you. I'm sure you didn't know what I meant. All right, StephanieMiller.com, you can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoie, Stickler Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. LD did with a hate letter, I guess, for all of us.
What? What do we do now?
But it's got a kind of a Dr. Seussian sort of feel to it, so I just felt that I should read it from LD. And it's a true hate letter in that it starts, I hate you.
Oh.
And again, with no salutation alone, not even the usual hello.
It's good to be upfront about it, I suppose.
Hmm. Yes.
Okay.
I hate you.
I just started listening to your show, and I look at things from both sides. No? Okay.
Here's where the rest of you come in. Thank you all for nothing, you nits.
Nit. That's what. Nitwit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the N-word.
I do not love you. I do not like you. This is where it gets Seussian. I will never listen to your wretched cartoon frolics again. LD.
Hmm.
All right, thank you.
It sounds like he just stumbled across the show.
Mm. Mm. Do not like us on a train? Do not like us in your brain?
No, he does not like us at all. Hmm. And also, it is Wretched Cartoon Frolics, is what this show is.
Hmm. That sounds pretty good.
I think that's your fault, Jim, yeah. You cartoon nit. Because Jim does actually cartoon voices. He makes it Cartoon
Wretched
Frolics.
Wretched Cartoon Frolics. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
What's the name of your character on the Fairly Odd Parents?
Jeff, you betcha. I'm Chuck, you betcha, and I'm the tallest newscaster in the world.
All right.
Mr. Bickles, the high school drama teacher.
On the Fairly Odd Parents?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Who else is there?
Oh, yeah. And that was a pre-Glee character.
Yes.
Yes.
Right. You were also in Finding Nemo, weren't you?
Yeah. I do some background voices on Finding Nemo.
Wow.
And Disney decided that I've made too much money, so now they're subtracting from my residual.
Oh, no.
That's nice.
Yeah.
That's nice. Merry Christmas.
So you get a bill every month for your residuals?
No, it just says, you know, $20.37 minus $20.37.
Oh. Okay.
Thank God you're paid so handsomely here at the Wretched Cartoon Frolics that is the Stephanie Miller Show.
You're despicable.
Let's dive into the right-wing world with our good friend. He's fresh, you know.
Carl
Frisch, for Media Matters for America.
So inviting to me.
Good morning, Carl Frisch.
Good morning. I didn't expect you to read my letter live on the air.
That was just a private
wretched cartoon excess. That's pure poetry.
Carl, you did write something, you little scallywag, just to make Glenn Beck's head explode, didn't you? Sarah Palin's deep ties to George Soros revealed.
Yeah, well, I mean, we all know that Glenn Beck has been positively obsessed with George Soros, and just to get this out of the way so that all of our little right-wing friends that are transcribing this for the West Beverly Blaze, Glenn Beck's website, George Soros has given Media Matters money, finally.
Yes.
But so, you know, Glenn Beck, when he draws his little charts on his chalkboard and that little chalk dust goes to his head,
yes,
and he connects everything and everyone to George Soros, there are some pretty convenient deep ties to Sarah Palin there.
Yes,
and
one of her top aides.
Person,
right.
Yeah. Had it been any other person, he would have been lamenting how Soros was slowly worming his way into Glenn Beck's own inner circle. But, yeah, Sarah Palin's chief foreign policy expert friend, Randy Schoeneman, who people might remember from the McCain campaign.
Oh, is that where she gets all that foreign policy expertise from?
Exactly.
Well, that's worth good money.
So, yeah, he's taken hundreds of thousands of dollars from Soros-related organizations. So I guess what's good for the goose is good for the gander.
Wait a minute. I need the better drama sting. I only have this one. All right. Let's dive into the right-wing world and see what else is doing, shall we, Carl? What?
Chunk dust. That's that white piderism at his nose.
That's what it is.
I thought it was donuts.
Oh, looky here. Sarah Palin, what everybody's talking about on the Barbara Walters show.
I'm looking at the lay of the land now and trying to figure that out, if it's a good thing for the country, for the discourse, for my family, if it's a good thing.
If you ran for president, could you beat Barack Obama?
I believe so.
Oh, you betcha.
I think you could beat Barack Obama if you won for president.
You know, she's checking to see if it's a good thing for the country. I think the country's pretty much made up its mind on that.
Yes.
They didn't want her a heartbeat away from the presidency, and she's even less popular now than she was then.
Yeah.
So my money is that she looks at those numbers, she thinks hard on it, and then she decides to run for president because, you know, logic is not something that comes quickly to Sarah Palin. But more than anything, she needs to maintain her profile as a looming conservative figure. And if she allows some other candidate to eclipse her during the primaries, then, you know, she can go the way of Pat Robertson and nobody's going to hear from her ever again.
Yep.
So she has to run because she needs the money.
Maybe she could quit preemptively and just get that out of the way now.
Yeah, kind of speed it up.
Well, she was going to finish the campaign. I mean, in all likelihood, she'll quit halfway through the caucus. Right.
Yeah, she won't just suspend the campaign like John McCain did. She'll like, no, I'm quit. No, I'm done. By the way, John in St. Pete, Florida says, Steph, someone should tell Sarah to mother up. Ah, that's funny, you see, because...
Mom up.
Yeah? Hey. I mean, Carl, we've been talking about it all morning, but I got to get your take on this, the homophobic rant that her, what's her name? Willow. Went on her Facebook page.
Willow.
And again, nothing from Sarah Palin. No apology, statement.
She's probably consulting that phantom gay friend that she talked about during the campaign. Perhaps Willow should meet her. You know, I'm not one that typically talks about the children of these politicians, but Palin has made these children political.
Yourself political, no matter what your age, by having a Facebook page and putting something out there that you know people are going to, right?
It's completely inappropriate. And, you know, if this was, say, Chelsea Clinton, for example, Rush Limbaugh, and she was saying something against, say, Christians or something like that, Rush Limbaugh and his ilk would be going after her. They'd be making tasteless jokes about her.
Well, Carl, you know what? You raise a really good point, because that's the difference. You know, of course, now we just read a statement from a Republican gay group that said, oh, here you are picking on Sarah Palin again. And it's like, wait a minute. First of all, you know, you're right. Rush Limbaugh made jokes about Chelsea Clinton. Well, she hadn't done anything. Called her the White House dog, said, you know, she was the daughter of, you know, Hillary Clinton and Janet Reno. This is different. That's what I'm saying. Maybe with the advent of Facebook, when you have a kid that's saying something despicable on a public forum, that's different.
Well, and what if she was using the N-word? What if she was, saying something bad about women? We expect more from people. The children of politicians live under a microscope in much the same way that the children of celebrities do. And Sarah Palin has used these children politically. So, I have a problem with it. The gay group that you talked about, was that Geo Proud?
Yeah.
Geo Proud?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I don't fault them, because being gay is not a choice, but being a gay Republican is a choice. And that's a choice they've made. that, you know, and they love nothing more than to associate with the homophobic right-wing crowd within their own party. It's kind of like self-flagellation. I don't get it, why they would have somebody like Ann Coulter speak at their national convention, and then she badmouths them to their face. Next thing you know, they're going to have Michael Savage, you know, calling them each individually personally and telling them how sick their life is, their lives are. They carry no water. There are plenty of pro-gay Republicans out there that gay Republicans could and should be supporting. I don't respect any gay Republican who doesn't.
Yep. All right. Glenn Beck on the TV.
Stimulus. Anybody really want that? $787,000 after TARP?
Yes.
Got jammed through anyway. Healthcare bill, most people opposed. Most people in Congress opposed it, but they had bribed their way through. You got to see what's in it after we pass it, really. Most people in America support Arizona's immigration law. This administration condemns Arizona. Why are they doing all of this? Well, we've shown you who this administration is in bed with over the last 2 years, radicals who are hostile to the Republic.
Oh, boy.
Where's he getting these numbers?
Yeah.
From Fox News' polls with Rasmussen, probably.
I think it's just he's getting them from his keister.
Radicals in Love with the Republic sounds like an Erasure album title.
All right, Rush Limbaugh.
Obama has been raised to believe all these people around the world hate us, hate America, have deep resentment for us. He's bought into all that because Reverend Wright told him that. Because Reverend Wright thinks the rest of the world hates us. This guy's an utter wrecking ball all by himself on the world stage, to the point now getting embarrassing. This presidency of Obama's, Barack Obama's presidency is graffiti on the walls of American history. That's what his administration is.
Because that's what brown people do.
Yes, I was just going to say.
Get it?
Yeah.
You get it? I would say it takes cojones for Rush Limbaugh to compare anybody to a robust, rotund, heavy device.
yeah, a wrecking ball, yes.
You see, he won't be on Mount Rushmore. He's only a tagger on Mount Rushmore, President Obama.
Right, he's not. Yeah. Rush Limbaugh's not a racist or anything.
No.
He just says stuff like that all the time.
Exactly.
Because black people do graffiti.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm not racist.
I'm not saying Rush Limbaugh's a racist. I'm not. I'm just saying that perhaps his ideology is racially charged.
That's nicely done. All right. 17 minutes after the hour. Carl Frisch remains in the sidebar. Sidecar. I put a sidebar in the sidecar.
We're going to have a sidebar while during the commercial break.
In fact, so stipulated.
We could use a bar.
We need to install a bar.
17 minutes after the hour. Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. Linda writes, being a family with great family values, wouldn't the Palin family watch the TV show together the night of the premiere? Or if Sarah was busy, where was Todd? Good question, Linda. I think they might be together. They're such a great family. Instead of posting homophobic slurs on her Facebook page, she might be with the family. But no. Hello, Carl Frisch.
Hello. I was just watching Sarah Palin's Alaska.
Oh, God.
Hey, speaking of, I enjoyed the grizzly scene myself.
I'm not watching it on TV. I can see it from my apartment window.
Oh, I see.
That'd be such a much better show without Sarah Palin in it.
Yeah.
And the family.
Just the Alaska part's fun.
Yeah.
And by the way, speaking of wildlife, I understand you have a new puppy.
I do.
A new puppy. Can I just say, with his own Twitter account?
Well, he likes to tweet. Anybody out there who wants to follow him can follow him at Dexter Von Frisch. And you can also follow me at Carl Frisch. Yeah, he had his first press interview yesterday.
Wow.
At the BC Fishbowl. Betsy Rothstein is doing a Dogs of Washington piece.
What kind of
so
puppy is Dexter Von Frisch?
He's more ink than I am. He's a Wheaton Terrier / Cavalier King Charles Spaniel.
Oh, dear God. Oh.
He looks a little bit like Benji.
Oh.
No, maybe.
That's so cute.
Okay. Fox and Friends, sorry to do it to you on Pelosi.
Well, most businesses in this day and age, I guess not all of them, have security passes so that you need that, you know, specific kind of ID to get into the building. I mean, I don't know if he's just showing up on the outside of the building or he actually is getting access
well,
to
that's
it.
Well, that's why they're filing the lawsuit to make sure that he doesn't come in. But doesn't this kind of remind people of somebody else recently fired, keeping showing up for work? There she goes. She's now going to be minority leader. She's going to be the
yeah. She wants to keep that job,
and she's got the votes.
Mm, she do.
See, she wasn't fired. She was reelected by a large margin.
Yeah. No, in fairness, she only got 80% of the vote in her district.
Okay.
Yeah.
So according to Fox and Friends, that means you're fired.
Mm. Well, yeah. Fox and Friends, you understand they work at Fox. They don't really have a clear understanding of what the word fired means for anything. Right?
All right. Ann Coulter on the war on terror.
We're not at war with the country. They are not fighting by the rules of war. If a Martian landed, he would say, the one advantage you guys have is they all look alike. They're all foreign-born. They're all male. They're all between a certain age group.
Yeah, but there are some female suicide
Muslim
bombers, and they
if
could
we
easily
had
get
been attacked, one. If we had been attacked by Swedish terrorists, this would not even be an issue.
So
it is
you're
only
saying
because our terrorists are from third world countries that we will not even look at profiling them.
There are Bosnian Muslims who are blonde and blue-eyed, by the way.
Yes.
Well, you know, she may be colorblind. I don't know. But that's the mentality. What's remarkable to me is just how awful Fox can be to Muslim Americans, and yet Rupert Murdoch is in the middle of negotiating some new media outlets in Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Yeah.
They live in this world of, you know, what we put on Fox is good for our audience, but let's not tell them about all the other stuff we're doing.
Yep.
Let's not tell them that we have pretty decent gay rights policies for our employees,
right,
with benefits. Let's not tell them that News Corp is trying to go carbon neutral.
Yeah.
Wow. Let's not tell them that Fox News is reaching out to Latino audience without an anti-immigrant message.
That's right.
Let's not tell them that our second highest non-family stock holder is a Saudi prince who has ties to the people that are planning the mosque near Ground Zero, the Islamic Cultural Center. But let's just and let's make it so that when you tell conservatives about all that, they call you a liar with a liberal bias.
Well, you're a liar. You're lying with George Soros' money. Bill
right.
O'Reilly.
Jim Brummett, LaPorte, Indiana, or LaPorte. Good for Beck going after George Soros. Don't minimize what Soros is trying to do. Bill, are you kidding me, Jim? Are you kidding me? Who do you think broke the Soros story? We've been exposing the guy for years. Mm. He's a danger to the country, in my opinion.
Okay. Where's his expose on the Koch brothers?
Yeah.
Well, that's never going to happen. They're probably too busy. Glenn Beck was at that secret meeting that the Koch brothers and all those rich right-wingers had. So, you know, if you want to talk about conspiracies, you know, I've never seen George Soros at a Media Matters staff meeting. This is Bill O'Reilly, and there's this jealousy rift, I think, going on between Hannity, Beck, and O'Reilly. It's quite amusing, and it's funny to me that Bill O'Reilly would feel so offended that he's not getting the credit he thinks he deserves for breaking the Soros story.
Yeah, which is that, there's also rich liberals with money that like to give to their favorite causes, too. Ooh.
Right. Breaking news at 11.
Yeah.
All right. Carl Frisch from Media Matters. See you next week, honey.
Have a good one.
My best to Von, what's his name?
Dexter Von Frisch.
Dexter, goodbye, Dexter baby.
Von
Frisch. Yeah, goodbye. Dexter Von Frisch.
I hope he's not named after the TV character.
Yeah, that would kind of suck because that character's a serial killer. A lovable serial killer, but a serial killer nonetheless.
This is the world we live in. Your puppy is not a puppy. He's not a legitimate puppy till he has a Twitter account. Welcome to the wired world.
When
everybody.
Are Max and Fred going to be getting their?
I
accounts?
Can barely manage my own tweets, for God's sake.
You don't even. You've never. Sorry, I should.
Besides, I know what theirs would consist entirely of rawhide. Rawhide, walk, treat,
poop.
That's it. And what are their? What else are their thoughts? 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Like some sort of eccentric genius?
Yes. Except for the genius part.
It is the Stephanie Miller show. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Actress Nicole Sullivan, hilarious, formerly of Mad TV and now of 7,000 other things coming up next hour.
Including Bleep My Dad Says.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
My Dad Says. Starring. She's on the new...
Will Shatner.
Exactly.
That's right.
I will have Jim conduct the entire interview as Bill Shatner.
I'm sure she'll appreciate
it. Yes.
That.
Mm-hmm. All right.
The interview will take several hours because of all the pauses.
You know that William Shatner has his own interview show.
Yes.
Called Shatner's Raw Nerve.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Oh, that must take forever with the pauses. All right. Our interviews go at normal speed, particularly when we have one of our personal favorite congresswomen, Donna Edwards of the great state of Maryland. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. It's great to be with you.
You too. So we're in the lame duck. Nancy Pelosi elected yesterday, 150-43. That seems a pretty fair vote of confidence.
I think it's a really solid, vote of confidence. I think we, recognize that there were those who felt the need to speak up and make their voices heard, and now we're all about moving forward into a much more unified caucus.
Well, absolutely. Congresswoman, I don't get this whole, it seems to me that Leader Pelosi did everything the White House asked her to. You guys produced an enormous amount of bills. Obviously, I think, as she said yesterday, this was always going to be a tough midterm with, the unemployment the way it is. I don't ever understand how she got demonized to the degree that she did.
Well, it's really clear. Clearly the Republican leadership never had a single positive thing to offer, never supported anything that the House moved forward, and we were a very effective House during this Congress, and they had to pick out somebody to go after, and they picked out Nancy Pelosi, and they went after, and she took it. She's got, the backbone of steel,
yeah.
And she took it, and she took 70 plus million dollars worth of it, and I think that we're ready to move forward. We're unified. We understand what we have to do, and we also know that this is about the economy and jobs, and when people are hurting, they're unemployed, they're trying to take care of their families, that we have an obligation as a Congress, not just as Democrats and Republicans, as a Congress, to do something about that, and we're ready to do it.
Well, you must be looking at the same polls I am. It is a little, almost confusing that, this election, people say, it was about the deficit and this government spending too much. I saw two recent polls. One has at 4%, another has at 6%, the amount of people that are concerned about the deficit, as opposed to, 10 times that many that are concerned about jobs and the economy.
I think people are concerned about a whole range of things. If you look at people who lost, there are folks who lost who were the strongest proponents for jobs here in America, people who lost who were the strongest proponents for health care, people who lost who didn't support those things. And so
right.
There's a lot of volatility, and this volatility didn't begin with the 2010 election. The volatility began two cycles ago. We've seen it where we had a wave of Democrats who came in, and so we understand that. And we have the business of really, and what I think we've done is really set this economy on course, not just for survival, but for revival. And it's going to happen. And Democrats will know that we've done everything to put in place, and the Speaker knows that, everything that we put in place to make sure that we're talking about American jobs and opportunity.
Right. Well, Congresswoman, speaking of which, obviously, what we lost, too, was it was a large number of, I guess you'd call them blue dogs or conservative Dems. But, to me, that seemed like part of the problem, that we had many votes where we had those Democrats helping Republicans do their work, obstructing.
Well, we have to remember, let's take health care as an example. 40-some Democrats joined with Republicans to oppose the health care bill. If you look, you know, across our caucus, many of us who supported health care reform survived in this election. And those districts that we lost were going to be tough districts anyway. That's how we got control of the Congress.
Right.
And in this kind of economy, that was made even more difficult. And so I think that we have every opportunity actually to regain the majority, and it's not going to take us a dozen years to do it, and especially with these folks in charge who, you know, even today, they don't want to extend unemployment benefits. They want to give tax cuts to the wealthiest 2% of Americans. They, you know, continuing to ship jobs overseas. The American public will understand that when they have a clear mind because they've got a job.
Congresswoman Edwards, I think that, you know, one of the things that can't be said enough is that a lot of the people in polling that don't like the health care bill, it's because it didn't go far enough. And, you know, it wasn't progressive enough. And I want to talk about you. You're running for the chairmanship of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, right?
I am. I'm excited about that, excited in this environment to ask my colleagues to allow me to help us lead ourselves into a stronger majority in the United States Congress. And I want to do that working with our leadership, but also making sure that we make, you know, very clear what a progressive agenda is for working families.
Well, here's another, for instance. I was actually just reading a statement from a Republican group who, you know, once again, any criticism of Sarah Palin, we get called misogynist. That we know we don't like women and on the Democratic side. And here's the headline this morning. Senate Republicans vote unanimously against bill to help guarantee fair pay for women. Yet another thing, of course, that was passed by the House, correct? And Senate Republicans voted unanimously against legislation to close the pay gap between women and men.
It's almost hard to know what to say about that. And so I think that, again, these are very bright lines and really clear choices for the American people. And I think that we're going to, even as a minority going into the 112th Congress, we're going to have to make sure that those choices are very clear and that people understand that Democrats are on the side of working families, on women who, doing the same job, just want the same pay. In Congress, women members of Congress get paid the same as men members of Congress. Why isn't it like that in all of our workforce?
Very good point.
Well, you know, and I don't know if people know that the pay gap still exists. Women still earn, on average, 77 cents to every man's dollar. African-American women, it's even worse, earn 61 cents. Latina women earn 52 cents for every dollar a white non-Hispanic man earns.
Well, that's right. I mean, and you see the hypocrisy. I mean, if pay equity is okay for members of Congress, it should be okay for everybody else. We have incoming Republican members of Congress screaming because they have to cobra themselves on health care.
Yeah.
Over 3 weeks. Well, think about the millions of Americans who don't have health care at all, who can't afford cobra coverage. And now these are the same people who actually want to repeal health care.
Well,
what hypocrisy.
Well, if I were still able to be shocked at Republican hypocrisy, I would be. But this one is called the Paycheck Fairness Act. I wanted to ask you a little bit more. I mean, to me, somewhat shocking, not a single Republican, even Olympia Snowe and Susan Collins, who had previously voted in favor of the Lilly Ledbetter Fair Pay Act, which, of course, that removes barriers blocking workers from seeking compensation from discriminatory pay practices. But, you know, this obviously seems to be, you know, this was, why wouldn't they vote for this? I mean, that's what I must be like you are. I can't figure out Republicans' motives anymore.
No, they're not motives. It's about politics. And that's what's really unfortunate. I mean, so being able to pay a fair amount that is an equal amount for a man or a woman doing the same job now becomes about electoral politics. It becomes about whether we're going to allow the president to succeed on something, whether we're going to enable Democrats to succeed as we close out the 111th Congress. And we've seen this over and over again. I mean, look at all of the jobs proposals that we've had for small businesses and job creation that Republicans have traditionally supported, and now they don't because it's about politics. And it's really unfortunate that women in this country who are increasingly a part of an active part of this workforce, you know, whether you're an engineer or you work in highway construction, whatever your job is, that you know that you're being paid you know, under the dollar for the same job.
Right.
And we've got a Congress and Republicans in Congress who refuse to make that right.
Well, that, you know, and Congresswoman, that's the only reason I bring up this particular issue, because it seems like, you know, after these midterms and the president once again talking about working together in bipartisanship, this is not a good sign. President Obama yesterday said, I'm deeply disappointed. A minority of senators have prevented the Paycheck Fairness Act from being brought up for debate and receiving a vote. The bill passed in the House almost 2 years ago. Today it had 58 votes to move forward. The support of the majority of the Senate, the support of majority of Americans, but a partisan minority of senators blocked this common sense law. Does that, you know, make
well,
you already think?
Well, it also highlights the dysfunction of the United States Senate, and they've got to change those rules that allow this, you know, tiny minority to actually control the agenda in the floor of the of the Senate. And that is going to become even more so as we go into this next environment with a divided Congress.
Yep.
And so the Senate has to change its rules so that a handful of senators, handful of rogue senators is what I describe them as, are allowed to control the agenda.
Well, Congresswoman, and that's exactly it. I mean, look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Harry Reid has said he's going to bring that forward during the lame duck. And, you know, here you have John McCain as one senator could stop what is the will of 70% at least of the American people.
And his wife.
And 100% of the people in his house other than him. Well, you know, I wish that I could feel more optimistic about any sort of bipartisanship, but, you know, it's certainly not a good sign. I mean, and that's what kills me about, you know, you guys in the House got so many good bills done, and they're all just sitting there. I wish that they could try to get as many of those through the Senate as they could in the lame duck.
You know, today our House leadership, our Democratic leadership has been invited to the White House. We accepted the invitation. Republican leadership invited to the White House rebuffed the invitation. I think that that is an indication right there that these guys do not want real bipartisanship. And it's really unfortunate because one of the big messages that actually came out of this election and has been repeated over several election cycles is that people want us to figure out a way to work together because we have to figure out a way to work for them.
Well, Congresswoman Edwards, that's a really good point. And, you know, I've talked about this time and again, is that there seems to not be in some quarters of the Republican Party even the most basic respect for the office of presidency of the United States when, you know, you have a congressman yelling, "You lie," at the president of the United States during a you know, a State of the Union. And this is you're right, another perfect example. Are you kidding me? You're too busy to meet with the president. The Republicans have to reschedule this meet. What's more important than meeting with the president of the United States? I mean,
well,
how disrespectful is that?
Yeah, I know when I was invited to the White House and I had a ton of other things on my schedule, you know what I did? I canceled all of them and I went to the White House because that's what you do out of respect for the office, out of respect for the president, and because our job is to work for the American people.
Yep, exactly. Well, that's what a quaint thought. it's almost nostalgic.
Yeah.
Representative Donna Edwards of the great state of Maryland. Good luck on the leadership position.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. There she goes, Congresswoman Donna Edwards. All right.
He's not the president. Come on.
Who's calling? I got a thing.
We get better stuff to do.
46, back with the latest on that as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun, it's healthy, it's good exercise. The kids just love it.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Oh, I live to make Newsbusters. 50 minutes after the hour.
Yes, you made Newsbusters.
They were the only one that got my joke about nobody puts Jennifer Grey in a corner. See, it was a reference to Dirty Dancing.
Yeah. They actually said that was funny. They actually said that was funny.
I love you, Newsbusters.
But then they went on to say, unfortunately, little else was funny in this segment.
My hair was, because I didn't get there in time to get it done.
What was wrong with your hair?
I didn't get it. I was busy putting my cocktail pack together.
You look like you were touching a Tesla coil. Yeah.
I didn't get there in time. It air dried on the way there. Andy in Lake Geneva, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Andy.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, is this Stephanie?
Yes. Yes, indeed.
Okay. Hey, Steph, I just want to make a few comments. Number one is that, you know, Sarah Palin's really dumb like a fox, if you get that little pun there. The fact is she's playing progressive radio like a, you know, like a maestro. You folks just play right into, and I'm basically an independent, but it's just.
You stumbled across this show.
Yeah, I actually did. But the way she's able to use progressive radio to essentially make millions for herself. And
yes, really I am the source of her gold mine, that's for sure.
Yeah, you really are. The whole group is, and the
So should I just ignore the idiotic thing she says, or what should I do?
Well, I really, Stephanie, I in many ways I would, and the fact that you play the homosexual and the abortion, you know, this constant stuff just feeds that fire even more, because then progressives, you saw it with her child.
I'm not just playing a homosexual, sir.
Oh, you're not. You know what I'm saying?
He plays one on the radio.
Millions of people that have a problem with it. It plays right into her making even more money. And the fact that
I'm pro-choice and pro-gay rights, I'm making Sarah Palin money?
Absolutely. Sure you are. Because,
sure.
You see, you just saw it here with her Facebook. There's millions of people that don't like it. And so she
don't like what?
They don't like homosexuality.
Gay abortions.
That's what we're saying. So they're glad when people use homosexual slurs.
Well, the point.
So I shouldn't say there's anything wrong with it.
Well, no, I'm just focusing on how Sarah's using it. Mm. You know, to make.
Oh, so she told her daughter to make homophobic slurs online.
Well, it is what it is. You know,
perhaps she did tell her daughter to play to her base. All right, I don't.
So
maybe.
I guess we should just never mention her ever again.
I guess
so,
not.
Okay.
I do. Right. I am part of the problem. Whenever they call from TV, I'm like, all right, what did Sarah Palin say? All right, you want me to come talk about? Okay. Now what?
All right.
By the by, just saying, you know, Jim. Some say that in some circles in the Tea Party, there appears to be some sort of, you know, homophobia, racism.
You don't say.
The deuce you say. Well, I'll be a monkey's uncle.
In Texas, a leadership battle is brewing over the election of the next state speaker of the House. State Representative Joe Strauss, a Republican of Texas, appears to have the votes to win, but a coalition of teabaggers preparing to teabag him, staging an effort to elect a more radical right-wing speaker. Dallas Morning News reporting several of the Tea Party activists in the aforementioned coalition have been circulating emails with an anti-Semitic messages against Strauss, who is a Jahoo.
Oh, he's a Jahoo.
He's a Jahoo.
Interesting. So, you're saying that the teabaggers might be racist and anti-Semitic? What?
The deuce, you say. All right. Hey, Jim, this is going to be, we talked about this earlier, the TSA.
Yes?
Now admits the tampons look like sticks of dynamite in the naked body scan, so this might get a whole lot more
embarrassing. So, the groping's going to get a lot messier, is what you're saying.
Hey, you get more bang for your buck.
Yeah.
Because guys aren't at all grossed out by that. Even just the box on the back of the toilet, even unused, they're not.
You keep it on the back of your toilet?
Where else are you supposed to keep it?
Under the sink so nobody sees it.
So you don't have to see it. See? Guys are such pusses, they can't even see the box. I don't even want to see the box.
It's gross.
I don't even
go down the tampon aisle in the supermarket.
You've never been married. Obviously.
Have you had to buy tampons for your
wife number one?
Oh, dear.
The TSA now admits that airport body scanners can see through clothes to create images of the naked body that can also detect sanitary napkins.
Oh. Yeah.
Does that necessitate a pat-down? The TSA couldn't say. Screeners, the TSA has said, are expected to exercise some discretion.
Yeah. It's going to take a lot more than a pat-down to check out that business.
So the string that comes out of a tampon looks like a fuse, you know, like that comes out of those cartoon bombs?
The blog Feminist Peace Network said, what about tampons? They look kind of like sticks of dynamite. Are they going to ask us to pull them out and just show them just to be sure?
Yep.
Thank
you, Michael Chertoff.
Oh, boy, traveling is going to get a whole lot worse. Just when we think it's bad enough. Travelers may have good reason to avoid the scanners. A group of scientists warned Friday the scanning process may actually be dangerous. They say the risk is minimal, but statistically someone is going to get skin cancer from these x-rays.
That's minimal. Only, you know, 30% of people get cancer. Yeah, it's an acceptable.
I wonder what it looks like if you look like an acne bomb when you go through the scanner.
Like a round black ball with a fuse coming out of the top? Yeah.
Yes.
It says bomb on the side?
It's not a bomb. It's a...
were some sticks of TNT, with TNT clearly
written, written on the side.
And rocket skates. You have rocket skates up there, too. I don't
Can you go through security with rocket skates?
I know you get through quicker, wouldn't you?
Exploding birdseed?
Mm.
Or the hole you put up at the side of it. Well, that'd be
redundant. A portable hole, yes.
Mike in Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hey, just a few quick points. Back when the Republicans had Congress, you know, the Democrats were in a minority, and they basically stopped nothing. And I'm just frustrated that they allow the Republicans to do this. You know, I heard you talking to the Congresswoman a minute ago, and she said, "Well, Susan Collins and Olympia Snow played politics with this last vote." When are the Democrats going to start playing politics and stop letting the Republicans dictate to them what to do?
Mike, you're absolutely right. And one of the things we should start is, I think, on these Bush tax cuts. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they're talking about, is split it into two votes. You know, the middle class tax cuts and the rich tax cuts, make them vote.
Yep.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mitch McShinless, by the way, he's rescheduling, going to get back to the president when it's good for him.
I'm looking forward to the meeting and to the opportunity to share with the president again the areas where we agree.
As soon as he gets turned over, because he's on his back.
That's probably why he couldn't make the meeting.
Yeah, he can't. He can't.
I think we both agree that I deserve a nice juicy piece of lettuce.
I'm playing the hits.
What are those areas where they agree, I wonder?
I don't know.
All right.
I agree that the president should just give up and we'll let us do everything.
Nicole Sullivan from My Dad Says, coming right up on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-1-2, the phone number, toll free from anywhere, stephaniemiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LaVoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Oh, did you see this? Senator Lisa Murkowski yesterday declared victory over the tiny baby screamy wolf candidate in Alaska, the Sarah Palin.
He's going to be doing a lot of howling at the moon. I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's demanding a recount.
Ah, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. I heard that.
Yeah.
All right. Between that and Willow's homophobic rant on Facebook, there's been some. I bet you there was some screaming in the Palin household.
Yeah.
Last night.
Doesn't this further?
Whoa, twig, twack.
Oh, by the way, we can never figure out their names, but don't they sound like all the things when Batman hit people?
Buff. Biff.
Bah, pow, bam. Track.
Trig.
Something. That's what Jim and I were speculating. Oh, because someone asked, Jen in Asheville says, Steph and Chris and Jim, I enjoy your show, blah, blah, blah. This morning you guys have been talking about the Palin children and their various shortcomings, but I never heard anyone mention, wasn't Track's Palin's son Brick or Crank?
Clunk.
Clunk. Whatever his name is.
Slink.
Wasn't he found guilty of slashing the brakes on a school bus? Isn't that why he was sent to Iraq to avoid a jail sentence? I believe there was some...
malfeasance.
We'll have to Google that.
Hmm.
We forgot about Frank. Flank.
Brick.
Flank. Whatever his name is. I don't know.
Schwank.
Exactly. Isn't there one named Schwank? We just know that Elmer Fudd sounds funny calling all of them to dinner.
Twig. Twack. Puesto. Well, well, come home for dinner. We're having your favorite, Wabbit Wasagna.
Oh, no, not this time. Sorry.
Okay, Joel from St. Paul, Stefan the Mooks, listening to the discussion about Willow Palin's Facebook postings, kids reflect what they learn at home. Years ago, my youngest son came crying to me at a large family gathering. He was upset because his older brother had called him a Republican. I realized that both my kids had learned from me that a Republican was the worst thing you could call a person.
Yes.
I, without realizing, had been using Republican as a pejorative throughout their young lives. I felt I needed to apologize right away to the conservative members of my family who heard my son's complaint. Last year, Sarah Palin demanded recommended the firing of Rahm Emanuel because he used the word, the R word for special needs, to describe members of his own party. She saw this as an insult to her child and her family. Now will she and her daughters need to apologize for insulting gays in the and the family and friends for gays everywhere? Will they do this? I doubt it. Joel from, yeah. Oh, here's a little a fun story. Some fun facts on George W. Bush, who has recently reemerged. Jim, hi, Steph. I have a George W. Bush story since he's back in the news. I volunteered during the Obama campaign. One of the people I volunteered with was from Texas when Bush was governor. She and her husband had box seats at the Rangers games and sat pretty close to W. She said he was a loud drunk who was always surrounded by women, and they were shocked when they saw the first campaign when he ran for governor as a happily married, sober, God-fearing conservative Christian. Yeah, he seems like a loud drunk at a baseball game, doesn't he?
Hey, come in here, hot dog.
All right, I like to do one story a day that can make you,
just catapulting the propaganda.
No matter how bad things are, if you've lost your house, your job, you know.
Whatever.
At least you are not making meth in your porta potty.
Excuse me?
That's how you know you've really hit rock bottom, when your meth lab is in your porta potty.
First of all, if you have a porta potty,
Cedar Rapids police say a suspicious smell coming from a porta potty. Isn't every smell coming from a porta potty suspicious?
Yes.
Turned out to be leftovers from an illegal meth lab, as opposed, I guess, to the legal kind of meth labs. But that was, you know when you're if you're making your meth in a nice place, but in a porta potty, then you know things have really gone
cooking
awry.
In an oven was involved in not that I know how to make meth, but I've heard that cooking is involved.
I think they just dumped the evidence into the porta potty.
Having dinner with that famous chef this weekend. I'll ask her.
Or maybe they just tried to eat the evidence, and eventually nature took its course. And
Dave in Fontana, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Hey, well, I really enjoy you guys' show.
Thank you.
Great. How about it? Very entertaining.
Uh-huh.
Regarding Sarah Palin, I look at her as an airhead redneck. And go ahead and run.
It's like the Hatfields and the McCoys on meth, is that whole situation.
Oh, absolutely. And when she was governor of Alaska, didn't she, advocate for abstinence only?
Except in her family, of course. Ken in Cleveland, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ken.
Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just, for the record, my favorite Palin names for their kids are Mint and Stump, and I have no problem buying Acme brand tampons for my wife, so I'm cool with that.
Because you're a real man.
But, you know, what my big thing is, of course, all these Republicans are they're going to be okay with, Willow throwing out the name, but they're going to be all incensed if we call them teabaggers, and we don't call them that because of what they do. You know, it's because of the stupid name they, Griff Jenkins or whoever made up for him.
Right.
And, it doesn't have anything to do with who they are or what they are. It's just funny and stupid.
And it makes them mad, which
makes them really mad.
Yes, it does.
Reason.
Anyone that's ever had a sibling knows why we do it.
I'm surprised these people are capable of having any kind of sex whatsoever, let alone, the actual teabagging thing. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
They shouldn't be offended by
all
it.
Right.
Not what they do.
Exactly.
Well, except for that one woman.
Oh, my friend and I got in a discussion the other day about, speaking of just why you do things that annoy people, what we used to, what you put in people's mouths when they fall asleep as a joke. And my brother used
to put dangerous.
My brother used to put rug fuzz in my dad's mouth when he was sleeping on the couch.
That's dangerous.
Wow.
Well, my brother's a weird Republican. That's all I'm saying.
I wouldn't put any, not while they're sleeping.
I'm just saying, why do you do things to your siblings or relatives? Because it irritates them. That's why.
Well, it also might kill them if you put
teabaggers
stuff in their mouth while
your
they're
brother's
sleeping.
Very strange.
Yes, he is. Well, he hung me, so, Jim in Minneapolis.
Yeah, he has no regard for the human life whatsoever, does he?
No, he's a Republican. Jim in Minneapolis, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Jim.
Thank you, Stephanie, for making Sarah Palin rich.
Yes, that's all me. It's all on me.
I think it's interesting the difference in leadership that we have from Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid. And Nancy Pelosi gets a lot of support. She won with 80% in her district. And Reid had to fight it out tooth and nail. So it kind of ties his hands a lot for what he can and can't do. He's always afraid of looking too liberal in the leadership. And I think it would do us well to get a senator who's in a more liberal state to be the leader of the Senate.
Mm. Yeah, I've heard that. Well, I think it's too late now, but I've heard that, like a Schumer or somebody might. But what are you going to do? Yeah, by the way, Harry Reid is not going to do the earmark ban because he just ran on, I'm bringing a busload of pork back.
Yeah.
All right. Representative Elijah Cummings yesterday on the Republicans.
They've got to contend with the Tea Party, which has been more further to the right than maybe they expected.
Hmm. Senator Tom Coburn, a Republican on the earmark ban.
There are certain people who have grown up on pork. They oink whenever they go back to the district and they talk about what they've done.
All right. Well, that's
Joe Lieberman. Was
that's 0.0001%.
I thought it was 1%
of the budget.
I thought it was 1%.
Whatever. Good job.
Well, there's a big difference between 0.0001% and 1%.
Yeah. Anyway, meanwhile, the tax cuts, which will add—I don't know if we've actually talked about the actual—it's $830 billion it will add to the deficit over the next 10 years if we extend the Bush tax cuts. So,
damn you, Obamacare.
Mm-hmm. So President Obama and Democrats, of course, want to extend the tax cuts for just middle-class families, noting expanding the tax cuts for the richest 2%. That's $830 billion it will add to the deficit.
Really tax cuts for everybody, across the board, everybody.
Yes, Republicans.
Why do you hate everybody?
Yes, Republicans demand an extension of all the tax cuts that have so far failed to put forward any convincing or truthful arguments explaining why giving the wealthiest Americans another tax break is the best use of almost $1 trillion while the nation faces painful cuts to valuable government programs. So then, did you hear this compromise emerged, which would split the issue into two votes, which I think is a great idea.
Yeah.
One for extending the tax cuts for the middle class, another for the rich.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as the potential deal was floated by White House allies, leading Republicans shot it down. Huh.
Ugh.
How weird. Dave Camp said, the Republican from Michigan, said the GOP will block any proposal that extends tax cuts for the middle class for a longer period than those for the wealthy. If Democrats insist on a longer period for the middle tax cuts, I think this issue will end up getting kicked into next year. So,
right.
Exactly. That's what Ed Schultz said. Okay.
Fine.
Then let them, you know, figure out how they want to do this then. I mean, you've got people on their side, like Bat herself, Bachman.
Yes.
It just makes no sense. As I keep saying, as Fareed Zakaria said, this is not politics, it's math. So, obviously, congressional Republicans demanding the extension of all the Bush tax cuts. Meanwhile, they refuse to support a continuation of unemployment benefits, which are set to expire next month, claiming the continuation will only add to the deficit.
Oh, my God.
So Michelle Bachman is on Good Morning America. George Stephanopoulos picked up on the discrepancy between caring about the deficit when it's adding to it helps the poor, but not when it helps the rich. Asked if she would support a compromise which extended both the tax cuts and the unemployment benefits, Bachman said no. Characterizing letting the tax cuts expire as massive a tax increase while dismissing extending of unemployment benefits as massive spending. This is what you voted for. Okay. I mean, I just, this makes me crazy. I can't listen to these tax cut discussions anymore because I love this. One of the key justifications Republicans use to support it is that allowing those particular tax breaks to expire will disproportionately harm small business. We've had all those callers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Stephanie. I own a small business and I like to listen to both sides. But these tax cuts will hurt me.
Tax cuts are, no, tax, what?
Senator Orrin Hatch said this is about stopping a job-killing tax hike on small businesses during tough economic...
Job-killing tax hike.
As Think Progress...
Because we had so many jobs under the Bush administration, one thing.
Yeah, this is a phony argument, just 3% of people with income from a business, large or small, would be affected if the Bush tax cuts for the rich expire. Republicans eventually conceded this point, only to begin disingenuously arguing about half of small business income would be affected by the tax increase. CNBC, a lot of the CNBC folks, conservative.
Yep.
One of the CNBC hosts helped Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin, spread this falsehood and threw in the incorrect Republican assumption that extending the Bush tax cuts for the rich would spur job creation. It just, I mean, it makes me crazy when they cannot explain where are the jobs that all these tax cuts
what would they do without
have been
Frank
in place
Luntz?
For 8 years. Yeah.
What are we going to do? We may have to tell the truth.
I think it's a good point, particularly all the callers we get. I think it's Think Progress you're pointing out. The GOP wants you to picture the local dry cleaners and hardware stores facing a crushing tax increase, but the fact remains that exceedingly few small businesses will be affected if the Bush tax cuts for the rich expire, and contrary to their assertion, such an extension is the least effective tax or spending step the government could take to boost the economy.
So mom-and-pop stores will not be affected by that at all.
Yes, thank you. All right. 18 minutes after the hour, back with more on the lame duck Congress as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is a happening spot.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 23 minutes after the hour. I'm always thrilled when I have a guest on, a big celebrity guest that I've drinking copious amounts of wine at my house with.
Hooray.
Nicole Sullivan, comedian extraordinaire, on the new show. My dad says, "Hi, Nikki."
Hello. How are you?
How are you, Nikki? As my nephew, who went to school with you, calls you.
That's right. Oh, dear Polly. Dear Polly.
Yeah, I love this story. I told you for years. He was like, "Oh, my friend Nikki. And then it took me years. I was like, "Your friend is Nicole Sullivan? Why didn't you tell me that?"
You know, I think of you. I just went into my hot tub this morning, and I think of you pretty much every time I get in. Not in that way. Because I remember at your house, your hot tub was always so beautiful and pristine and clear. And every time I get in mine, I'm like, ugh, I need to put more chemical. Something's wrong with mine.
Well,
and I would think, well, Stephanie has the touch.
Well, because that's what, because I made my nephew be my cabana boy for years. So that's, I can lend him to you.
I'll take him.
Now, of course, the minute I announced you were coming on today, I got a million pictures of the Lancome lady sent to me. And everybody's, all of your favorite Mad TV characters that people loved. But this is like the hottest new show, my dad says.
Yeah, it's quite the thing. It's William Shatner, so that's sort of a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And it's CBS, and turns out a lot of people watch CBS.
Yes.
So that's good.
Now, tonight, Cybill Shepherd is guest starring.
Yes, she's hilarious.
Yeah.
She's hilarious. And so pretty. I'm telling you, like, listen, I don't know what goes on, but I don't know what sort of things these older actresses sign with the devil, but she looks gorgeous, and she's funny and smart and fabulous.
Right. In a way, kind of depressing, because you think, oh, I thought it was just the lenses they used on moonlighting, but right. You're like, no, I guess not.
Yeah, it turns out some of these ladies have good genes.
So, hang on a second, let me get my dad says, is about Ed. He's a very opinionated 72-year-old who's been divorced three times, played by, of course, Bill Shatner. He has two adult sons who are accustomed to his unsolicited and often politically incorrect rants. And so this is what basically the story is about. So one of the sons has to move back in with Ed.
Yeah, basically what it is this was a Twitter account started by a kid who is working on the show, 28, 29-year-old kid, who had to move back in with his dad because he didn't have any money. And his dad just says the most ridiculous things. So he titled his Twitter account, you know, Bleep.
My dad says.
Obviously, no, yeah, not Bleep. Bleep, yes. My dad says. And, and just his friends would read it because, you know, they all knew his dad was curmudgeon-y and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, then he had like 15 people, then all of a sudden he had 120, then 1,000, and he had over a million followers.
Yeah, I know. Unbelievable.
It's crazy. And so they made a show about it, and starring Mr. William Shatner. So basically it's this guy who just sort of says what's on his mind, you know, an old Vietnam vet, you know, surgeon in the war, who just says it like it is, and a kid who sort of has to live with it.
And what?
And the other son, their son's from two different mothers, is a big sweetheart of a guy that's sort of been under his tyrannical rule for too long and doesn't even fight back anymore. And I play his wife, who does fight back.
Oh, of course, because you're plucky. That's now I've got to ask you, because you used to play that hilarious right wing character on Mad TV that I loved. I we haven't talked since this election cycle, but I mean, are these Republican women not like characters that could have been on Mad TV?
They're almost beyond. Like it's we're starting to go into like Britney Spears kind of, like where you're like, well, I could imitate them, but how would I even be that crazy? You know what I mean? Like how could I even go there? Well, let's just discuss the fact that if I can bring it to terms that I understand, the fact that Bristol Palin is still on Dancing with the Stars just shows what these Tea Party people are up to.
Yeah, well, exactly. They keep calling it a conspiracy. I'm like, well, it's not really a conspiracy if she clearly sucks and is still on the show.
Right.
Yes.
There's nothing secretive about what's happening to this country. These people are dumb, and they're loud, and they're being heard, and it's very frustrating.
Well, yeah, I mean, the Christine O'Donnell, for instance, like, you think this can't be real. I mean, it's where comedy and politics have just completely intersected.
Listen, I'm the ignorance that I have, I own. I say, listen, I graduated from a very good university, have not followed up correctly, don't really listen to the news the way I should, have two small children. I'm not as intelligent as I need to be. Now, that being said, I'm much more intelligent than these people, but they don't own anything. They don't ever acknowledge they really just don't know, have a lot of information. They don't own any of it.
Right.
They just walk around pretending they do. It's like you gotta own your idiotness, folks.
You know, yeah. There's a slogan for them.
Yes.
For 2012. Nicole, before you go, honey, because we're running short on time, but I forgot, I have to congratulate you. How old are your kids now?
One and three, basically.
Wow.
Yeah, I know, right?
And
good boys, good boys.
And a new series. Your life isn't too hectic at all.
It's fabulous. I'm literally doing the recycling as I'm talking to you.
How glamorous.
That's what you bring out in me, Stephanie. That's just
Oh, you know me. I've always been a weird, stalky fan of yours. Nicole Sullivan, my dad says, tonight on CBS. Thanks, honey.
I adore you, Stephanie. Thank you so much for having me on.
You too, honey. There she goes.
Hooray!
All right. Little Nikki Sullivan. As my nephew... I was like, what? Little Nikki is... No! Yeah, so I've been a weird, stalky fan for years. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
I think I'll have some breakfast wine. You can't drink my wine. I brought this wine as a gift. Therefore, it is my wine. And I will drink whatever I want. You sexy towny hoe.
What? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Tomorrow, Governor Jesse Ventura for our yearly jumbo-sized JFK conspiracy theory discussion with Jim Ward.
That's
hosted
right.
By Jim Ward. And Kelly Carlin, George Carlin's hilarious daughter, joins us live in studio as well.
That's right.
So there. Cynthia in San Jose writes, Steph, I have a new bumper sticker. I pay taxes so the rich won't have to. That's good. That's good. And true.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We have so much going on, so much to talk about. I mentioned this past weekend, I was at the gala. You know, it was a gala, which is a big deal.
Or a gala.
Well, in this case, gala.
All right. For the Gay and Lesbian Center here in Los Angeles, Lily Tomlin hosted it. Kathy Griffin performed. Jane Lynch got an award. Our friend Julie Brown performed. She was hilarious. And the director of the LA Gay and Lesbian Center spoke, and I thought she was so delightful, I've asked her to come on. Good morning, Lori.
Good morning, Stephanie.
You were great. I loved your speech.
Oh, well, thank you very much. It was a fabulous evening.
What? That was one of the best events ever, can I just say?
Well, I love to hear that. I hope that next year you'll join us again for our 40th anniversary.
Indeed, I will. Well, Laura, I wanted to have you on, too, because obviously so many issues in the news. And the latest, of course, is this Willow Palin, the Palin's 16-year-old daughter, went on a homophobic rant on her Facebook page. She called some kid the F-word for gay man. And, you know, it just seems to me in an environment where, you know, all the issues that you guys are working on and Trevor Project and so many of our friends, you know, with gay kids killing themselves, wouldn't you think that Sarah Palin would step forward and try to show some leadership on this, at least in her own family?
You know, I would love that. It would be great if Sarah Palin would take that kind of leadership and show that kind of compassion, because the truth is that what her own daughter did is the same thing that youth all over the country are doing. You know, words like the word that Willow used are the epithet of choice in schools, and the sentiments behind that are what are causing the bullying that is epidemic against lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender youth, and is impacting the high suicide rate.
Well, you know, it's interesting. We read a statement this morning from GOP Proud, I do not understand. They're a Republican gay group that basically is defending, you know, and saying that we're picking on Sarah Palin and her family unfairly. I mean, I don't understand, in an age where Facebook is obviously public, And, you know this is going to be public. I mean, and she doesn't think anyone's going to mention this. How is that picking on her daughter? I mean, they basically said, oh, this is unfair, and it's because, you know, people are going after Sarah Palin. It seems to me when your child does something public like this that hurts people, you have a responsibility.
Absolutely. That's a ridiculous response from them. The Palins are a very public family, probably one of the most public families now that exists in the United States. And any time the child of a celebrity does something like this, it gets more attention, so it can do more harm. And that's why it's more important that the famous ones in the family speak up and say, hey, look, this is not okay.
Well, I mean, you know, it seems to be, you know, that's the last refuge. People going, oh, well, kids will be kids. And, you know, we had a caller yesterday, Lori, that said, you know, you can't control all things kids say everywhere. And that's true, but we can start, can't we? I mean, that's why you guys do, you know, outreach to schools. I know Trevor Project does that, where you have to start the conversation about this is not okay and it's hurtful.
Absolutely. We have to do a better job at creating an environment in our schools where this is unacceptable. We've managed to do it with other issues like racism, to a lesser degree sexism, and that's one of the reasons that we at the LA Gay and Lesbian Center are working with the president of the LAUSD School Board, Monica Garcia, to talk about a program that we can develop that can make a dent in this kind of behavior in our schools.
Well, I mean, it's interesting that, you know, Cindy McCain, of all people, is the one that speaks out in this anti-bullying video, right, and says, mm-hmm. You know, our lawmakers, not to mention any names, are giving kids the impression they are second-class citizens. They cannot serve in the military. They cannot get married. They can't have equal rights. And it's really true. And then, you know, you have something like this where nothing is said. Like, oh, well, that's just kids being kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of silence is just not acceptable. If Sarah Palin has any designs on playing a more important leadership role in this country, she has got to take a very firm stand against this kind of behavior.
But, you know, Lori, they don't. I'm sorry, on the Republican side. I mean, this anti-bullying legislation that is up, you know, I mean, Republicans are the ones, once again, that are blocking it because they don't want kids to think it's okay to be gay. They want gay specifically taken out of the bullying legislation, which is exactly the problem. Right?
Yeah, that is exactly the problem. And unfortunately, too many Republicans are pandering to the far-right base of their party. And I know many Republicans who think that this kind of thing is appalling, but we've got to get to a different place in our nation where issues of human rights, issues of safety in schools are not partisan issues, that they have the dramatic support of everybody among our elected leaders.
You would think, Laura. That's what I thought. I thought, boy, are kids killing themselves? Wouldn't that be kind of a bipartisan thing that we could all agree is not good?
You know, yeah, you think so.
And yet it's not. I mean, that's what's so, I mean, I know, I'm wondering how you're feeling, because you've obviously been in the trenches for gay rights for so long, but it seems like, you know, we're moving forward. You know, you look at the polls and 70% of the American people want Don't Ask, Don't Tell overturned.
Mm-hmm.
Gay marriage has majority support now, and the country has majority support in California now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, we've also had, I think, the most homophobic sort of array of candidates on the right in this last cycle, and we've had, you know, these gay suicides. What is your take on where we're at and what's happening now?
Well, you know, I think that in terms of any progress at the federal legislative level, it's going to be a wasteland for the next 2 years, because you're right, the Republicans, who tend to vote 100% against us on these issues, are not going to move. And so we're going to have to focus our efforts on the state and local level. Look at what's happened in California in the last decade. We've achieved nearly full legal equality under the laws of our state, and we had marriage for a while, and we're going to get it back. So we need to focus at the grassroots. All politics is local, as Tip O'Neill used to say, and I really believe that.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's interesting. I think this last cycle, I don't know if you heard this, but a third of gay people voted Republican in this cycle, reportedly over, you know, frustration that the Obama administration is not moving fast enough. I don't know about you, but that sort of thing makes me crazy.
Yes, I completely relate. And, you know, our community is not immune from having people who don't make the wisest decisions any more than the straight community is.
Yes, we can be just as stupid as straight people. Harry Reid, you probably heard, is going to bring up Don't Ask, Don't Tell in the lame duck. And, you know, we had an expert on earlier that thinks that we may make it this time. So, we'll see.
Yeah, you know, I hope so. I'd be really shocked if that happened. And I really wish that the leadership in Congress and the president had moved this so much sooner so we weren't dealing with it at the 11th hour.
Well, what What is your take on that? You know, I get the occasional right-wing caller that goes, oh, you know, the president has the same view on gay marriage that, you know, and then he'll mention all of these right-wing homophobes, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. But and I think that, but that's the difference. There is a difference, and you have to point that out, that as the president often does, you know, I think he has done more to move gay rights forward than any president we've had, and that's in only 2 years.
You know, it has been like night and day in federal departments and agencies. Under the Bush administration, they were actively working to defund gay organizations, and federal officials would talk to us only in secret, fearing retaliation. That has completely changed under the Obama administration, and I'm as frustrated as anybody in our community with his slow progress on the issues he promised to be a fierce advocate on. But you just can't compare what it was like before he was in office to how it is today.
Right, and Lori, the thing is, I mean, he is right that it takes an act of Congress to overturn Don't Ask, Don't Tell, you know, once and for all legally so that it can't be undone. And
right.
So, yeah.
Right, that's true, although he could have done some things like issue a stop loss order so that the military would stop immediately discharging people because of their sexual orientation, but he's not had the courage to do that, which is very disappointing.
Well, I mean, we'll see what happens with this vote, but I mean, I'm getting to that point myself, Lori, where, you know, if it takes an executive order, because when you have a John McCain that has moved the goalposts so many times, you realize that they just, you can't conclude anything else that he doesn't want gay people to serve. He's
That's
going
right.
to find a reason, you know?
That's right. That's right.
I think that, but I, you know, on the other hand, I mean, even the president, I thought that was fairly huge. I mean, he said he is evolving on gay marriage like many of us have and like many people in the country have.
Well, I have always believed that he took that position for political expediency, and because earlier in his career, he had a different position on
right.
the freedom to marry.
Right, right. Well, I mean, I think you're right. It's like, but when you look at where the polls have moved mm-hmm. nationally, I think it is an inevitability, which is what the president said. It's an inevitability that it will happen.
That's right. You know, one of the reasons that the right wing and these religious fanatics are pushing so hard against gay rights these days is that they know they're losing. They read the same polls I do, that once the younger people of today get a little older and get more in control, this is going to be an issue of the past.
Yep, absolutely. Lori Jean, doing the Lord's work at the L.A. Gay and Lesbian Center. Thanks so much for taking time for us.
Hey, happy to be here, Stephanie.
All
Thank
right.
you.
All right. There she goes.
Yay!
Fabulous. Let's go to Sue in Rockville. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Sue. Hello, Sue.
Oh.
Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Hey, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
Listen, I have a reverse story. You know, I don't want to beat up on that poor woman from Liberal Maryland, but since I raised my kids here in Liberal Maryland,
right.
I just want to say it was my children who knew because they were taught and their friends were gay and of all kinds. They taught my father, their grandpa, how not to use racial, how to use homophobic slurs, because we were the only family where going to grandma and grandpa's house on Friday night meant you lit the Shabbos candles and then you had pizza for dinner.
Shabbos pizza.
Shabbos pizza every Friday. And so all of their friends growing up had to have dinner at grandma and grandpa's house. And my father, of being the kindest man who would never deliberately hurt anyone, would call gay men Shirleys.
Right.
And he would never do it to hurt anybody. You know, he never had any problem with lesbians. So he loved
lesbians. Oddly.
But anyway, and so finally my children came to me and they said, you know, we're afraid to bring some of our friends over because if Grandpa says this, they're going to be really hurt. So I had to pull my dad aside and say, look, you know, you can't use that word. I know you don't mean anything, but it's a slur. It's thing. The kids are upset. So he says to me, he says, are you telling me that my grandchildren hate me? And I said, Dad, it's because they love you so much and they're so proud of you. They don't want you using terms that hurt other people's feelings because they want you, they want their friends to meet you.
Yeah.
And he started, you know, he dropped that from his vocabulary. And I said to him, do you realize how many of your kids, of your grandkids' friends are gay who have been, has sat at your table? He's like, who?
Yeah. Then he turned into a gossip like the rest of us. Really?
And I said, it makes no difference because you love them all. We love all the children.
Well, Sue, that's a great story. And that's how it's done. It's one heart and mind at a time. I remember I had a friend years ago that joking used to think it was funny to use the N-word. And I'm hardly a politically correct, you know, uptight kind of person. I just said, it's not okay. You know, and she stopped doing it. I'm like, it's not funny. It's not okay to me.
You know, there's a great song from Sondheim, from Into the Woods, that says, careful of the things you say, children will listen. Careful of the things you do, children will see.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so it is up to us, and we can stop them. And even if they do it when they're teenagers or middle school, we hear it. We hear it in the carpools. We hear it all the time. And we can just say, hey, guys, you know you think that's funny. Really not appropriate. You wouldn't like it if you were called. I mean, any right. of the other kinds of slurs that you can use to call them, anyone for anybody, because it just is so demeaning to everyone. So, you know, but grandpas and grandmas can learn, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thank you for that Grandpa Walton story. We appreciate it. All right, Sue in Rockwell, there she is. And you know she has good judgment because she's the one that brought a baby to a bar to see me when I performed.
Look at you!
Mm.
You have a baby! In a bar!
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Weird, weird, weird. W-I-E-R-D, weird.
That's not how you spell weird.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Ah, yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 52 minutes after the hour. Oh, the evils of Facebook, Chris. Really.
Uh-oh, what happened
Facebook,
now?
The source of all evil.
No, Twitter is.
Whether it's a... Yes, which almost got you.
You're fired.
Yeah. The tweet that dare not speak its name.
Yes, mm-hmm. That has become part of the lore of the Stephanie Miller Show.
You can't spell Twitter without twit.
Well.
Yeah, but it's, we're not just the Willow Palin thing, but do you know debt collectors now are using Facebook to embarrass people who owe money?
Really?
Wow. A St. Petersburg woman is filing suit alleging the company that financed her car loan began harassing family members over the social networking website Facebook. She fell behind in her car payment after getting sick and taking a medical leave from work. And anyway, so, so now they're using Facebook to try to, you know.
That's why you keep your friends list private. From people who are not your friends.
Yeah, I don't. That's why I don't do any of it.
Hey, deadbeat, pay up.
Actually, you do it. You just don't know you do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Stop sending me the do I want to be your friend. No, I don't.
It says no.
Oh, you don't get any of those. I get all of those.
Yeah.
Come on.
All right.
Yeah, stop sending me all of those.
All right. Carrie in Santa Maria, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Carrie. Hi, Care.
Hey.
Hey, go ahead.
Oh, well. Going back to the TSA stuff, I just had a funny story because my boys are musicians and they play bagpipes. And so a couple of years ago, we were traveling cross country to see the family, and we didn't check their bagpipes. They wanted to bring them on board. And nobody had, in the TSA line, had seen a deconstructed bagpipe before. And so they got them all apart, you know, to put them in their container and everything. And they do kind of look like pipes, you know.
Right.
But it was so funny because the TSA agents were just freaking out. I was like, what am I looking at? What is this? And so it was.
Well, listen, you haven't traveled with Jim Ward trying to get his harmonica collection through security. That is all right.
What
thank you,
honey. What the hell are those things?
What the hell? Did you see optoutday.com declares November 24th to be the day when air travelers should refuse to submit to a full body scan and choose the enhanced pat-down?
Yep.
I guess it, in a way, is a way to show people how invasive it is.
That's next week, and it's designed to...
Thanksgiving, yeah.
Yeah, disrupt Thanksgiving travel as much as possible.
Right.
Yes, I travel just to get a little human contact, just to get a little, you know,
no,
a little something.
Things might be dangerous. We don't really know how much...
That's what I mean. I don't want to go through the scan.
And people have been making copies of, you know, naked pictures of people who go through there.
Janet Napolitano can deny that all she wants, but they keep showing up on the Internet.
Uh-huh.
I'm not a big fan of Janet Napolitano. I was a big fan of hers when she was governor of Arizona, but she, oof. Eek.
Nancy Pelosi yesterday on her big win.
They know that I'm the person that can attract the resources, both intellectual and otherwise, to take us to victory, because I have done it before.
Yeah, which is why the Republicans hate her, because she's so effective. They got, she got 400 and something bills done in just in these last 2 years.
9.5% unemployment is a very tough screen to get through with any other message.
How come we didn't know that she got all those bills through? They need
again,
a better PR.
Yeah. Democrats don't know how to. Yeah.
Oh, because they went where dreams go to die, the United States Senate.
Or the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yeah, well, both places.
How would your ratings be if $75 million were spent against you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's true. With the Senate and the Stephanie Miller Show, a lot in common. The place where dreams go to die. Fairly useless. Kind of useless as a deliberative body.
What, the Stephanie Miller Show?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's certainly true. But we are a good floor wax and dessert topping.
Exactly. Okay, by the by, you know, when a Republican talks sense, you have to give them a... Mike Huckabee joins a Tea Party and Progressive Coalition for Defense Cuts.
All right.
Thank you. He joined this coalition by advocating for sensible cuts to the defense budget where they are warranted. You know, as you know, there's people now on both sides. That's the only bipartisanship I'm seeing, things like that, you know, that some right-wingers and some progressives are saying the same thing. Huckabee said, we are still designing a lot of military hardware for a war we don't plan to fight. He went on to say our military priorities don't have to be bloated with a lot of stuff that really is not about keeping us safe and protecting and caring for veterans. So there are areas of the defense budget that need to be looked at, honestly.
Unless the that part of the defense budget is in your district.
In which case, that's completely
sacrosanct.
Well, you know,
we need flintlocks.
He's going to face resistance from establishment people like John McCain again.
Yeah.
You know, I love McCain said, Rand Paul, he's already talked about withdrawals, cuts in defense. I worry a lot about a rise of protectionism and isolationism in the Republican Party. He's just out of step and old. On defense spending, on don't ask, don't tell.
It's not the policy, it's not the policy.
Oh, speaking of which, we have some breaking news from our friend Carrie Elleveld at The Advocate.
Yeah, she says there is a huge press conference going on Capitol Hill, and a whole slew of senators are there in support of repealing don't ask, don't tell. A lot of big names.
Wow.
Yes, if I could find those names, that would be great.
Yes, it would. Oh, House Republicans have officially elected the boner as their nominee for Speaker of the House. After he was given the nod, they rolled out a green birthday cake to wish him his happy 61st birthday.
Took it with his orange face.
Oh, I bet he cried all his bronzer off at that.
I haven't had a birthday party since I had to work at a job to make money.
I used to have a job making green birthday cake. Now I'm the Speaker of the House.
I wasn't collecting any checks from the tobacco lobby. I had to work.
Get ready to say, oh no, Bobby Jindal not running for president.
Oh no.
No.
You cannot be president.
He can't do anything.
Mm-mm. Can't do anything.
58 minutes after the hour. Join us tomorrow for Jesse Ventura and Kelly Carlin. We'll see you then on The Stephanie Miller Show.